We've been talking about rooted, not stuck. So how to stay rooted in our faith, rooted in God, instead of stuck in the situations we find ourselves in and the spaces we find ourselves in. And we talk about faith versus feelings, how if we look at the definition of faith versus definition of feelings, how it's impossible to live according to both at the same time. So if we are saying, hey, I live by faith, not by sight, we can't be also living according to our feelings and allowing our feelings to dictate our lives. We spoke about waiting, how to wait well, and what to do if we've labeled a season as waiting when God never asked us to wait, how to work in the waiting season. And last week, the sound mind, the power of a changed mind. We spoke about how, We spoke about how our minds can keep us stuck in situations and how God has promised us a sound mind, right? There's that scripture that says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And how anything other than that is not from God, not what he's promised us. And the power of a changed mind, when we live with a sound mind, with the confidence that comes from God, how it impacts our whole world, not just how we're feeling, right? So today, I'm going to talk about expectation and the power of expectation. I'm going to pray for us first. God, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and move in this word. Holy Spirit, this would not be my word, but yours, that you would open up our hearts. Would you show us where we're lacking in our expectation, where our expectations of you have been distorted? Holy Spirit, that as we prepare to go into our fast this week, that you would set our expectations for us, Lord, that we can place our expectation in you and you alone. Amen. So expectation is actually my word for 2024. It's something that's like, you know, trusting God for a word. I'd never done that before because I was like, I don't know if I could like hear God like that, you know. Like everyone's like, oh, my word for the year is this. And I was like, did you just choose that? Like, or did you pray about it? And God was like, this is your word. And it's like a whole moment. But I really felt this is the word that just kept coming up when I was talking about 2024. And it's been really cool journeying with the Lord about expectation, what that looks like. And I feel like this year was the first year that I came into the year with expectation. Like, I wasn't just like, I'm going to see what God does and, like, you know, trust him and put my trust in him and hope that he does cool things. But I actually, you know, during Fast 24 last year, which is around this time, I was intentional about seeking him and, God, what can I expect of you for next year? Like, I put on the board, okay, what are my expectations? And not, like, what I want God to do for me, but, God, what are you going to do so I can be praying into it, preparing for it, and making sure that I'm ready for what you're going to do? And it was really interesting, and I was looking at, okay, what does expectation mean? Because I feel like as Christians, we use a lot of words that we don't actually, like, oh, what's expectation? Well, it's like, you know, this thing, you know, it's like sanctification. What is sanctification? People are like, it's like something that happens after we believe in Jesus. It's just becoming like Jesus, you know. And we use a bunch of words that we're like, don't really, like, okay. An expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case. It's also the feeling that a good things are going to happen in the future. So, you know, like when you're a kid and it's the night before Christmas and you have this excitement in you because you're expecting that there's going to be presents under the tree, or it's your birthday and you're expecting that your mom's going to celebrate you and make you feel special. You know, that feeling where there's just an expectation that builds inside you, this feeling that something's about to happen. And I realized that for me, my default is to manage my expectations, to keep them small, because I'd rather be pleasantly surprised and disappointed, right? Like, if I manage them and keep them small enough, then I won't go through life feeling disappointed or feeling like, oh, like I wish that happened and it didn't. And I realized that's not honoring God. And that's something the Lord's been journeying with me on, is I can have big expectations of God because he is a big God if I align my expectations with his word and what he's saying for me. Because sometimes we can go through life and we're like, well, this is what I want for my life. And God, here's my plan. And I expect you to make the story I've written happen for me. And then we get disappointed because we're like, but God, you didn't do it. And he was like, I never said I was going to do that. Like, that's something you said you wanted me to do, but you didn't bring me into this thing. This is something that you thought's going to happen. But if we'd had a conversation, if we were walking together, I could have said, hey, like, I know you're thinking about this thing, but I actually have this for you. And it's so much better than what you could have imagined for yourself. And I was thinking about expectations and how managing our expectations and trying to keep them as small as possible so that we don't get disappointed by God is actually not living by faith. It's like living safe, you know? It's like I'm happy with whatever I get, but I'm not going to trust that God can do more for me. I'm not going to trust that he has more for me, for my life, for my family. And I was thinking about this and praying about this, and then I was reminded of a story of Jesus in Mark 6, where he goes back to his hometown. And I'm really sorry that the screen isn't working, technical difficulties, but I'm going to read it for us. It's in Mark 6 from verse 1. It says, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And I think when we, you know, if I read this, I'm like, you know, they were super familiar with Jesus. They knew his family. They watched him grow up. So yeah, that familiarity was a sense. But also because they were familiar with him, they didn't expect anything from him. They weren't like, oh, he's like, you know, they at first they were amazed. Then when they realized who he was, they were like, oh, it's just that guy. So we don't have to expect anything from him. I know his dad. I know his mom. I know his family. I watched him grow up. And the expectation, you know, Jesus says he was amazed at their unbelief. They didn't believe he could do anything for them. They didn't believe that he could, you know, heal them. And it's funny how this author writes it. He's like, he just, you know, healed a few sick people. Like, it's like, you know, just did a few things. But it still did great things. But how much more could Jesus have done for his hometown and his people if they believed and placed an expectation on him? We see stories throughout the Gospels how people came and they were like, if you can just speak a word, I know that you can heal, right? They came with expectation of he's a healer, he's the Messiah. They knew he was, and they expected what he could do. They knew what he could do. But because they didn't have an expectation, it limited what Jesus did, right? It speaks about familiarity and unbelief, but they didn't think he could do anything. They didn't have an expectation that anything would happen from him, right? That's the definition of expectation. They didn't have a strong belief that something would happen. So they placed a limit on what God could do. They placed a limit on what Jesus could have done for them. And for me, when I read this, it's kind of like, well, then if this is tied to unbelief and they didn't think he could do anything, then maybe having a lack of expectation is actually a form of unbelief. God, I don't believe you can do anything for me, so I'm not going to expect that you can move in my life. God, I don't believe you can do anything for me, so I'm not going to expect that you can bring my brother back into the church. God, I don't believe you can do anything for me, so I don't have an expectation that you'll bring my family home, that you'll unite my family again. And so quickly we can switch into this for so many different reasons. I think a big part is a fear of being disappointed, right? We're like, oh, I don't want to step into the, oh, God's disappointed me. So if I keep it small and I keep it simple and I just love my life and I read my Bible and I worship him and I keep it all sunshine and rainbows and don't risk being disappointed, don't risk putting that expectation on God. But how much more could he have for us if we place an expectation on him? We know the promises he has for us. If we're simply expecting what he's already said he can do, right? He can heal the sick. He can bring people home, right? If he can literally make blind people see, he can do anything. So if we're aligning our expectations with his word and the promises he's already given us, then we can't be disappointed. The only thing we can be is that we don't trust his timing and we're disappointed that it hasn't happened yet. But just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. In Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Another version of it says, seek first his kingdom and live righteously, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I think it's funny how, you know, sometimes we like quote scripture quick, and we often leave out that, and his righteousness, or and love righteousness, like seek first his kingdom, and he'll give you everything you want. You know, we give this big blanket statement, but it says seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, to live righteously. And I think to seek his righteousness is to live righteously, right? If we're seeking his righteousness, then we need to get close to righteousness, which means we need to live righteously to get close to it. Or at least how that's how I understand it. And to live righteously is to live in obedience. So if we're seeking him and we're living obedience to his word and seeking him not for what he can give us, right? Like Andre said, we can't manipulate God to do what we want to do. but seeking him simply for him and living according to the word of God, then he'll add the things to our lives that we're worried about. To live righteously is to live with clean hands and a pure heart. So now I was thinking, okay, but how do we keep ourselves pure? Like, how do we keep our motives pure? Because so quickly we can transition into this transactional thing with the Lord, right? Because we know the promises he has, and maybe we don't trust timing, or our timing isn't God's timing. And we're like, God, I know you have these promises, and if I do this, then you'll do this. You know, like, if I fast and I pray, then you will answer my prayers, and you will do it, like, in this week, exactly how I expect you to do it. And we can slip into this kind of where our motives aren't 100% pure. We're not seeking him because we love him, and we want to exalt him, and we want to spend time with him, and we just want to, you know, love on him and be loved by him. It's not this pure heart thing. It's kind of like a little bit murky, you know? Like the running water's gotten a little bit stale, and we're like, oh, but I really need you to do this, so like if I fast, then it'll happen. And I think we can slip into that very quickly when it comes to fasting. We're like, oh, but if I fast, God's gonna answer my prayer. Like we're using him like rubbing a lamp, and he's gonna give us 3 wishes during our prayer. But God isn't a transactional God. He's a relational God. So how do we keep our hearts pure? 1 John 3, verse 3, if I'm in the right spot, but I'm actually going to, so the scripture, and all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. But that's, I'm going to read before that so we can understand the context, because he's like, what is the eager expectation we're supposed to have? See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. We can have a hope and a future glory, right? We know where our eternity lies. We know one day we're going to come face to face with Jesus. And that's the promise we have in our salvation, right? And that eager expectation of one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to see him in all his glory, that eager expectation keeps our hearts pure. You know, when you're going through a tough time and then you're just reminded of what Jesus did on the cross, how everything kind of just, it just gets a little easier. Or your mind's a little bit crazy and you like just look to the cross and you think of Jesus and you come to church and you're singing songs about what he did for us. And suddenly your heart's kind of like comes a little bit cleaner. And that's how we keep a pure heart, is keeping our expectation on him, that we are his children, that we have hope and a future glory, that we're going to come face to face with him, that we're going to sing with all creation and all eternity, holy, holy, holy. And I think we can feel when we worship like that, when we're singing holy, 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 and we just can't stop singing. We can feel there's something there where our spirit's crying out and longing to be in that space, to be aligned with heaven. And when our expectation is set on, man, that's where I'm going. So I'm going to practice like I'm there. I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to seek him because I know I'm his child. I know that my hope is in him. And I know that I have a future glory waiting for me where I'm going to be like him and be with him. And when we keep our expectation of that, right? That's our eager expectation. We keep our hearts pure. And that should be the focus of this eager expectation. And I think of that verse in Matthew 6 where it talks about, and all these things will be added. So often our expectation is on that second part. Our expectation isn't on God and seeking his face and seeking his kingdom and the things of heaven. It's on, God, I really need a car. God, my phone needs to be upgraded. God, I really need a job. I need to be provided for. And we're so focused on the things of this world, right? The things that God's going to add to us when we seek him. But that becomes our sole focus, that our hearts become murky and we get transactional with God. And when our expectation is solely on what God can add to our lives and not on who he is and who we can be with him, that's when things get a little disappointing, you know? Our eager expectation should be on his kingdom, on him, on the things of heaven. And that's how we keep our heart pure. When we're seeking his face and his kingdom and his righteousness, then all those things will be added to us in his timing according to his will. might not look the way we thought it was going to look, might not be in the time frame we thought it was going to happen. But if we're seeking him, he will add it when he sees fit and when he knows that it's best for us. So then could us managing our expectations or trying to be realistic, because you know we try and get realistic with God. You're like, oh, like someone gives a prophetic word of your life. You're like, well, that's not where I'm at right now. I don't see that happening. But I'm pretty sure that someone being raised from the dead after being dead 3 days is not realistic. So I don't think our God is a realistic God. He's a supernatural God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And I think when we try and manage our expectations to what we think is possible, then we kind of slip into a form of unbelief. And then I think we need to maybe come to God and say, just like that man, God, I believe, but help me overcome my belief, unbelief, you know? We need to come before him and be like, maybe I haven't been expecting of you because I'm afraid, but would you help me overcome my unbelief and give me the boldness to place an expectation in you? And would you shift my expectation so that it's focused on you and who you are? And sometimes we're like, we're just trying to be humble, you know? We're like, I want to come humbly before God. I don't want to expect too much. I want to ask too much. And I fell into this trap because I'm like, I'm a dad's girl. And my dad, he's an amazing dad, and I love him so much. But I never wanted to place a demand on him because he was so busy all the time and working all the time and working so hard so he could provide for us and provide the life that we've lived, which was beautiful. But I never wanted to place a demand on him because I wanted, like, you know, I didn't want to, like, upset him or make him feel like he's not doing enough. And I kind of brought that into my relationship with God. And I was like, I just want to come humbly before God. Like, he's already done so much for me. He's already saved me. He's already taken me into eternity, you know. He's already opened my eyes to the kingdom of heaven. I don't want to ask for more. Like, I don't want to seek more. So I come humbly before the throne room of grace. But that's not what the Bible tells us to do, which I've figured out. Luckily, sooner rather than later. But it says this in Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, and yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne room of grace of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. There it says, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have a high priest who is saying, hey, you can come boldly. I've already told you, you are my son, you are my daughter. You can come boldly. You don't need to come cowering before me. Lord, would you maybe, can I maybe ask you, can I see your glory? Like, can I sit with you a little bit? He's like, no, come boldly. Come in. You're already part of the family. You already hold the keys to come in. Come boldly. Don't come cower and say, okay, I'm going to be humble, when actually it's an unbelief and you're afraid of being disappointed. He's saying, come boldly to my throne room and I'll give you everything you need. I'll give you the mercy you need, the grace you need to make it through each day. Because of what Jesus did, I can come boldly and I can come with confidence and I can have this eager expectation that I'll be with him and like him and that I'll experience a future glory. I can have an expectation to experience pockets of heaven here on earth. I can have an expectation to have peace, to have a sound mind, to have joy, to have provision, to hear the voice of God because of what Jesus did on the cross and because I am his child. Psalm 119 verse 131 says, I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. I think that's so beautiful. You know, when you... I'm not a runner. I don't enjoy running. But you know when you start running and then you're like, okay, a glass of water would be so good right now. And you're panting and it's like this desperate thing, right? Like you need, and I pant with expectation. It means like I'm desperate. I'm expectant. I'm waiting on your commands. I'm waiting on your voice. And when we have this eager expectation of, Lord, speak to me. Lord, may I see your face. Show me your glory. Let me worship you. Can I encounter you? Let me hear your voice. Would you show me, like, tell me your commands. What do you want me to do? When our expectation is that, this eager expectation, then he adds all those things, right? But we have to make sure our expectation is set on him. Not on what he can add, not on what he can do. So before we go into the fast, I want to ask, where are our expectations? Have we kept them low? Maybe we don't have any. We're just going to see what happens and what God's going to do. Have we put them in the things He can add to us? God, this is the list of things I need You to do in 2025 so I can stay on track with the plan I have for my life? Or is it in Him? Is it in His presence and the things of heaven to experience Him and encounter Him in ways you never have? Can we trust His timing in the, and all these things will be added? Can we be so focused on Him and doing what He's asking of us that we can trust that He's going to add it when we need it most and when He sees fit and when we have the character to sustain what He's given us? Would we seek Him in our expectations? Going to Him first, God, what can I expect of You? What are You going to do this year for me? What can I trust You for? Because I feel like when we have that conversation, it's kind of like guaranteed. You know, something small, like I shared last week Sunday, how last year there was this guy here, Pastor Quissy, and he did a call for us to sow. And I felt God saying, just sow my cell phone. And I was like, what? No. I don't want to do that. And I was so foolish that I literally was like, I'm just going to give like my jersey and like my shoes and like my earring. Like I literally just like brought a bunch of stuff that God's like, you didn't have to, like I didn't ask You for that. So I sewed stuff thinking like, oh, maybe I'm just thinking I was giving my phone because I'm trying to like be that person, you know. I'm not that person. And for a whole week I was wrestling with God and I was driving and I was like, God, just forgive me for my disobedience. And He's like, the person hasn't gone anywhere. You don't have to live in disobedience. You can be obedient. Like, it might be late, but you can still be obedient to what I asked of you. And the moment I sewed my phone, I had this peace. And I was like, hey, God, I've sewed it. It's in Your hands. And this year, like, I was making my vision board, and I put all the things that I've been praying into on there so I can keep reminded of, okay, these are my expectations. This is what I feel God's saying for this year, to keep focus. And then I just put a picture of a phone there. I was like, whatever, I'm just gonna put it on there. You know, who knows? Like, I sowed it, and the Bible says we reap what we sow. So I was like, okay, it's a biblical principle. I'm just going to put it on there. And I was like, whatever. I forgot about it. And I had, like, this really ridiculous block phone with, like, press 3 times to get C, and I could only make phone calls. And if I really tried, I could WhatsApp if I was super patient. And I was fine. I was like, the Lord did so much in my life through not having a phone. He broke so many things in me. And last week, 2 weeks ago, someone sewed a phone to me the same way I got, like I sewed my phone. And it wasn't like a, God, can You give me a phone? God, can You give me a phone? No, I was so focused on Him. And then He just added it to my life. He's like, you sew it, so someone's going to sew it to you. And it's even better than what you gave. And it's great. But if I had been like, Lord, give me a phone. Lord, give me a phone. I feel like I could have missed so much of what God was actually going to do in my life through not having a phone and through focusing on Him, that I would have like been so caught up on a phone. Like, really? And I feel like we get like that. We think we need something, or we think something needs to happen. But actually God's saying, hey, I have so much more for you. You can experience so much more. I can break so much more in your life and set you free. And you can live experiencing these pockets of heaven if you just focus on Me, if you just put your expectation in Me. And my hope is that we're going to go into a time of worship. And my hope is that you would come boldly to Him and that you would ask of Him, God, show me Your glory. Show me Your face. Would You realign? And maybe for some of us, would You elevate my expectations? Would You show me where to place my expectations? Show me where I've maybe put so much focus on the things I need of this world, and I haven't been focusing on You and who You are and Your glory and Your goodness and Your holiness, and asking God to realign our hearts. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and I'll ask you to stand. Father God, right now as we worship You, as we honor You and exalt You, would You come, Holy Spirit, and just drop in our hearts where we need to realign our expectations, where we need to realign our priorities. Would You come and elevate our expectations of You, Father? We say, fear of man, get out. We say, fear of disappointment, get out. God, we put our trust in You, and You are the creator of the universe. You can speak in life forms, God. We can place a high expectation in You, in Your presence, in Your glory. So as we exalt You this afternoon, Lord, would You come and speak to us? Would You minister to our hearts? Would You come and shift things and realign things? Thank You, Jesus.
can join in with the elders and all of the living creatures. Finally know why they never stop singing. Finally know why they never stop singing. Oh, now I can join in with the elders and all of the living creatures. I finally know why they never stop singing.
Greatest, your name stands above them all.